Ahoy there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people who order off the value menu and artists who try to do stadiums and realize that they can't sell tickets and have to get a smaller venue. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
No, but that's enough about Charlie Kirk. We haven't talked about the Young Thug drama on this podcast. Did you listen to the Glorilla diss that came out?
No, today? See, that's what I'm saying is I'm not up to date on this at all, on this row, on this controversy.
Oh, he announced a new album and released a pretty good song to it. I don't know. It wasn't like classic great Young Thug, but people are hyping it up because It was good enough that it's like, oh, this might be like a comeback album after this Young Thug controversy. It was a little mopey. It was like a little bit like about how he's so sad about that all his friends are fighting. Drake, you were always like my best friend. I'm trying to get Metro and you to stop fighting and I want everybody to be friends again. I could definitely see this being a lane for Drake to come back into the public graces, is to like play into this like we're about bringing people together energy that Young Thug is kind of opening for him.
Yeah, I guess so. I always thought Future was Drake's best friend. Either that or 40.
Future is one of the people that Young Thug was dissing.
He was like, I'm not going to stop rapping till Future's presence is history.
When did you start ghostwriting?
No, that's a Phil bar.
Ooh, okay.
So say you love it.
I love it.
What do you think about it? What's on your mind?
Adrian, how caught up are you on your Shakespeare?
Not very at all. Not since high school.
Yeah, me either. But the references come up enough, and I have enjoyed Shakespeare enough when I'm forced to watch it or when it becomes a big Hollywood movie.
You're talking about like Shakespeare in Love, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And so I was reading a book that was referencing The Tempest a lot. So I decided to watch it, and I watched like a video of the stage play. Pretty good play. Fun play. Caliban, that's just fun to have a little monster, you know? I think we could all do with a little bit more like just gross little monsters who say crazy things in our media.
Oh, like the honeycomb guy.
Who's the honeycomb guy?
The honeycomb cereal mascot was definitely in the category of like little monster dude.
Oh yeah, this guy, he's more like if Gritty could talk and was like pathetic and being kicked around by everybody.
Wait, that's what this Shakespeare play is about?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's about that, but that's what this character is about.
I didn't know that they were doing shit like that. I thought it was always just people and kings and stuff.
No, this play is all magical.
Oh, I guess there's the fairies and stuff in the, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Prospero is a wizard, and he controls everybody with his wizard powers. Although, in the version I watched, they gender-swapped Prospero. It was a woke version. So she was a witch who could, I don't know, she had magic, and she controlled this island, and there was, like, beasts and fairies on it and stuff, and Caliban was a little sea monster. She abused, and he had this line where he kept being like, every scene he'd be like, I'm bringing in the wood, stop yelling at me. No matter what somebody said to him, if they were like, get up, Caliban, he's like, I'm working on it.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it was a good bit.
So wait, what streaming service is this on?
Amazon Prime. It was I had to do the 7-day trial to like Broadway HD channel.
Dude, Amazon has all of that shit, dude. I hate when you look up something of like to see if it's on Amazon and they're like, yeah, you just have to get this extra subscription for the British TV shows.
I know, and I think I'm going to try to, before the 7 days runs up, watch
7 days.
Watch Shrek the Musical. So I'll come in with a media roundup for that next week.
Oh, well, that'll be fun.
This probably wasn't good Shakespeare because nobody had an English accent. It was all Americans.
I've seen better Shakespeare in the park.
I've seen better Shakespeare drunk.
Oh yeah, that is a thing. I forgot about that. Oh man,
I've seen better Shakespeare read by a quivering high schooler's voice, popcorn style.
Yeah, when we read Shakespeare in high school, my English teacher specifically let us watch the movie versions of whatever it was to be like, I'm bribing you guys to read the play.
You know, I never got that. It's like, why wouldn't you watch a play? What's the point of reading a play?
You know,
It feels like a weird, why are you stepping away from the actual medium it was intended for?
I guess that's, yeah, that's interesting. You think, like, especially now and, like, for the last few decades, we definitely have the ability to just show the play, right?
I guess most students would just zone out and popcorn-style forces you to pay attention, so that's why they did it that way.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
But it was just, like, it was such a slog because nobody knew how to pronounce anything, so it's just, like, hearing people stumble through the whole thing. I don't know if that was...
Yeah.
A better way to actually try to understand what they were saying versus like, yeah, you miss some things because it's in old English if you're watching the play, but you definitely understand it better because they're saying it confidently and with like a good cadence.
With the actual iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as we talked about on the phone, I have been watching Game Changer on Dropout, and I specifically skipped the Shakespeare one because I just knew I didn't have the stomach for it. Just doesn't do much for me.
I think those guys are really talented, and they've brought them back for other episodes, and they're good at non-Shakespeare improv, too. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I also didn't really, like, latch onto the Shakespeare stuff.
That's not part of my media roundup, though, but that's just what I thought about when you were talking about Shakespeare.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a media roundup, but I was just trying to chat about
something.
Are you
worried that anybody's going to think that you're doing Shakespeare as a put-on?
Is that a thing people do as a put-on? Are there a lot of fake Shakespeare heads out here? I don't feel like it's like philosophy. It's not like, oh, that guy at the party was talking about Shakespeare. It's not like, oh, that person was talking about Nietzsche. It's not like in that
like
realm.
Like bringing out a guitar. It's like, oh, that guy brought out the Tempest.
the Shakespeare bros.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have a little media roundup if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I watched on Monday a movie called Twinless. It is shot and directed by a guy from Portland. Apparently my sister got invited to watch it by someone who knows the director. If you get a chance to see it while it's in theaters, definitely go see it. I absolutely loved it. It was very heartfelt, very dramatic, but also very, very funny. It's about two guys who meet at a support group for twins who have lost their other twin. And there's some twists and turns in it, but it's very good, and it's very funny. It's also a queer comedy, if you're into that, if doing the identifiers is going to get you in the movie theater. The other thing I watched at the Dreamland last night was Don Hertzfeld's animation mixtape. So it's the guy who did It's Such a Beautiful Day, but it's just him curating a bunch of animated shorts that he likes. And, yeah, there were some really good ones. I told Nicole a while ago because I was watching a video about the history of Polish animation where I was like, y'all are crazy with it. Y'all really like, I don't know why like Poland and Hungary just decided to go crazy on animation. But yeah, there's some good ones from there. And I got to see some that I have seen before. So The Flying Sailor was an Oscar nominated short. I got to see that one again. And Jesus 2, which is I brought in before on a previous podcast, an absolutely hilarious animated short from one of the guys who worked on Duncan Trussell's show.
Which, by the way, people are starting to catch on that apparently that guy is going a little right wing. Apparently he's a big fan of Peter Thiel, and he's upset that people call him fascist.
Oh, yeah, I think we talked about this recently. Maybe over the phone.
I think a couple weeks ago I called the, like, why are we letting Duncan Trussell happen? And I'm standing by that. I think I called it.
You stood on business. And then the last thing is I've just been having a lot of fun playing my Switch. I got a Switch 2 from my friends in a very generous act of getting me something for my graduation. And it has been a very welcome escape from what's going on now.
Which kind-hearted friends got you a Switch to which heroes?
In alphabetical order, it was Adam, Coleman, Drake, Phil, and Paul.
You think Phil comes before Paul alphabetically?
I thought there was a silent A in Phil's name, which also doesn't make sense. In order from tallest
to shortest.
Oh,
the silent AK before, between the P and the H.
And, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, when we played Fortnite for the first time, I started off with 3 victory royales in a row, so I'm kind of killing it.
Oh, and the other thing I've been thinking about this whole week is, and I've been texting you and Phil about this, I don't think you guys care as much as me, but Cam Patterson from the Kill Tony podcast is been hired on SNL. It's just, like, a lot of his comedy is calling white people the N-word and waiting for a laugh of, like, it's funny to be like, oh, this might bleep, and point at a white guy who looks nerdy. And it's just, like, how is that going to work on SNL? I'm so curious how this is going to work out. Like, none of his...
I think I know how that's going to work out. None of... You know Lauren's going to show up.
Just his style of comedy And I'm not saying he's better or worse than anybody else who gets hired for that show, but, like, his style of comedy seems so not enmeshed in the world of what they're trying to do. I'm just laughing at the idea of them trying to, like, incorporate his stuff into, like, Weekend Update. Like, every time I see, I just Google his name and we'll watch a little bit of his stand-up and be like, yeah, they should try that on Weekend Update. They should try that bit.
Is that a cynical meta thing where they're just trying to get that audience to watch SNL of people who normally would say SNL hasn't been good in 30 years?
Maybe. Maybe it's just like, yeah, I mean, I guess sometimes you shoot for the moon. You just take a wild shot and say, maybe this guy like has a special insight into a different type of skit that we haven't done.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be great. Like, that would be a fun twist. Like I said, I don't think he's worse than the other people. He's so out of that realm that
I'm sure
curious to me.
I'm sure he's probably worse than Carl Tart, who should have been promoted but didn't. Shout out Carl Tart.
But the worst way to look at it is that they're picking somebody who will get good media for them for hiring him, but he won't be able to get anything on the air and they'll fire him in a year, which they do to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Time will tell.
Do you ever read those articles about how SNL apparently doesn't actually pay that much per episode?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What if you get a skit on? Does it pay a lot better? Or it's like if you're a...
Ooh, I've only ever seen it with the featured players who I think have like a regular, like you showed up in the episode so you get money type thing.
I guess it just makes so many... It is one of those things where it makes so many careers you gotta... Like, who cares if it doesn't pay well? Like, it could be... Yeah. It could propel you into stardom.
Yeah.
Or you could be there for a year and never heard from again.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of... That actually would be... If we had someone on who was at least as into SNL as I am, if not a lot more, doing like the, did you know that person did SNL quiz or something like that would be pretty fun.
Because
there's some weird ones. Oh, that and then people who audition too is always fun.
Adrian, do you know off the top of your mind as a Simpsons head, the voice of Bart?
Nancy Cartwright.
And do you know whose aunt she is?
Amy Schumer.
Guess again. And guess a little shorter and a little sweeter.
Espresso? She's Espresso's aunt?
I saw Sabrina Carpenter was on Nardwuar doing an interview, so I went and looked at her Wikipedia page. Relatives. Nancy Cartwright, voice of Bart Simpson, aunt.
Damn.
I was like, I'm basically the first person to break this news. I know it's on her Wikipedia at the very top, but I feel like a journalist who figured this out. I dug deep and
I think this
I
is
broke
on
this
you.
Story.
I think they're going to add you as the citation for this. Oh, dude, we should do celebrity relatives at some point. That's a pretty good episode theme, too. No, that's crazy. That's, I guess...
I mean, she got her start as a Nickelodeon star, so maybe it's just a Hollywood family, you know? It's one
I was
of those
just
things.
About to ask about whether or not that was a Nepo thing or not.
She seemed very charming in the Nardwuar interview, so I'm not going to say anything bad about Sabrina.
Nice.
SC.
I think a lot of people didn't like her new album as much, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do? I'm not really listening to her albums anyway, so she's kind of like a personality celebrity to me.
Yeah, Manchild was fun. I wasn't hanging out with Nando when this one came out, so I didn't have to listen to the whole thing. Shout out to my friend Josh, who when we were talking about tattoos with Josie and a couple other people, I was like, my brother has a Lana Del Rey tattoo. And he's like, oh, your brother's gay? And I was like, yeah, he is.
I mean, that wasn't a hard thing to call a Lana Del Rey tattoo.
But shout out to Nancy Cartwright. I was telling, you know how like I kind of always have like some Simpsons jokes just memorized of like ones that really got me when I was a kid. And for some reason, I think we were talking about veganism or something with my friend Kate when I was hanging out with her. And I was like, oh, yeah. Or no, we were talking about 4-H, where the episode where Bart joins 4-H and has a cow and he wants to rescue the cow and free it. And so him and Lisa are sneaking in with like the vegan anarchist terrorist to steal his cow back. And they're at the fence and they need the passcode. And so Lisa goes up and says, meat is murder. And the guy says back to her, cheese is genocide. Cool. All right. Well, we've covered the business of the week. We've covered Media Roundup. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's get into the theme.
All right. The theme is value menu.
Yeah, value menus.
What do you got to say for yourself?
They always...
A thing of the past that's sort of coming back?
Yeah, a little bit. You always hear about them kind of when a place is struggling, like they have to come out with a really good deal to try to win back customers. It's like McDonald's is losing customers because of the boycott or whatever. And what did they try? Like the 4 for what was it? It was like the 4 for $4 deal.
Oh, but maybe. I think that's famously a Wendy's thing, but probably something like that. I think it was a 2 for $5, but maybe that's Burger King.
Yeah. There was something at McDonald's that got me because one of the things was like the 4 for $4 at Wendy's. One of the things is like you have to get a drink, and it's like, oh, at that point, that's like 3 for $4. Like, I don't care about the soda.
Mm. That is true. It costs you 17 cents a pour or whatever.
Yeah. And usually I'm not really getting a soda when I'm trying to do a value menu order.
Oh, really? I still like having a little drinky.
I'm good with water.
Wow. That is how you were raised. Real water boy.
When I was a kid, I think I've mentioned this on the pod before. I don't know why. And I've heard this from other people. So it's like definitely some sort of mental space you get into if you're on a very certain vibe. McDonald's, my move was always Powerade, blue Powerade. And I don't know why other people are like, oh, yeah, that was my thing, too. I always like associated that with going to McDonald's.
Interesting. I think people always say that McDonald's has the best Coke because they put a little extra syrup in it or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
I think for me, the only association I have is the KFC / Long John Silver, which was one of the few places that had brisk tea on tap.
Oh, I never got that.
Yeah, it's a very, very sweet, sugary tea.
That Long John Silver was the first place I ran into popcorn shrimp, and man, I was into it.
You were taken.
Yeah, I was taken.
Yeah, yeah. Damn.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. You got to hang out with your boys at Books a Million and then go over to the KFC Long John Silver's.
Simpler times.
I know. Life was good.
Yeah, the dollar menu. I think we talked about you remembering it coming into effect when we were alive and me thinking that it was something from like the 70s that had stuck around.
From the 70s? In the 70s, it would have been like a burger for a dollar. They're ripping me off.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're right.
I'm Googling it right now so we can check. Let's see. In 2002, the dollar menu was launched.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So we would have been
seven years old. Yeah.
Goes to show where my mind was as a child.
Yeah.
Were you a McDonald's kid? I really liked it as a kid, so I can see why my mind latched onto that when the commercial came on.
No, not really. It wasn't my favorite. I liked their breakfasts. That was about it.
All right. This Wikipedia article has at least the big chains. Arby's announced their value menu in 2010.
I actually do remember that one. That's the only time I went to Arby's was because the commercials for that.
Burger King had a value menu in 1998 where they put a dollar for a burger.
Mm. The most recent one that I saw was exactly what you were talking about. It was Five Guys where they were clearly like, hey, we know people think of us as being unaffordable. Here's a little token of a meal deal.
Oh, what was it?
$16 for a drink, small fries, and a little big burger, whatever they call it.
That's not bad, yeah.
It's not bad, and it was delicious.
How about this? Let me quiz you, even though we're not doing a third segment right now. What year do you think the $5 footlong came into effect?
Oh, I still remember the commercials for that, and it was mostly when I was hanging out with my friend Mark, which I think would have been 7th grade or 8th grade, so what is that? 2008?
2004, but I do remember that campaign starting and running. I do think they like re-upped it around 2007 or at least started a new big ad spend on $5 footlong.
Interesting. Were you big on the $5 footlongs? I really hated Subway growing up.
Yeah, I did too. It was, I remember telling my parents that when we would walk by the one on the strip mall next to McDonald's that I didn't like the smell coming out of it. Like, I just wouldn't go in there.
Oh, damn. That's the only good part is a little like baked bread smell or whatever. But even then,
I didn't like it. Something about it freaked me out as a kid. Did not care for it.
You know, it was really like curmudgeonly Adrian as a young kid that I like. One was like, I can make a sandwich if I need a sandwich. But the other issue I had with it is like, so wait, the sides are chips that I could get from the store? You guys aren't making anything? What am I even doing here?
Yeah, the dollar menu really had the most, like, actual bang for your buck, I feel like. Maybe that's just me being guided by the fact that as a kid I liked it the most. So, like, and it was still in effect when we were in high school. So, like, once I got my first job and stuff, I do remember going to grab value menu stuff. Like, oh, I can get this stuff so cheap. I can, on my way home.
Yeah, yeah. 55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 shakes. Yeah, was that like a big cultural moment when they had to change it to like the $1.29 value menu and then like the where everyone's like, oh, nope, this is a sign of the times.
Sign of the times. And now food is so expensive. Like, you just expect you're going to get screwed over no matter where you go.
Oh, yeah. That was something that I was reading when I was looking for advice columns of like, it was an article titled something about how like McDonald's took the brunt of the demonization of inflation or whatever, and it was like, yeah, I guess so, but that was kind of their brand, though, is that they're supposed to be
cheap,
the affordable place. Yeah.
One of my things is that, does it feel like, and I guess I wasn't looking at prices as critical an eye when I was a child, does it feel like not only has the stuff, like, inflation has kicked in, but it feels like the economics of it has gotten where the cheapest places are now much closer to the middle market segment, where it felt like the jump from, like, McDonald's to going to Flight Deck used to be a really big jump. But now that, like, places are more expensive, now it feels like, oh, it's like
that gap is
a
narrowed.
20 to 30% jump between, like, a fast food place and, like, a middle market. Like, oh, we can just go grab a fast sit-down meal from this place.
Yeah. I think among other factors, that's what people are saying is leading to Chili's being super strong right now.
Yeah. It just feels like, what's the point of going to the cheapest places where the jump up one step in quality is now so much, like,
mm-hmm.
the price isn't that different.
Yeah. It's pretty true.
I don't know if, like, the economics of running one of those, like, middle marketplaces has just gotten more efficient, like, they've just figured out how to make that stuff cheaper, or if these fast food places are just getting cocky, where they're just like, we can charge more and more, we're the cheapest thing around, they have to pay it.
Yeah, they're the floor, so they get to decide. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know all the economics and business insider stuff about it.
And maybe
it,
it's not true. Maybe it just feels that way, because I don't think I was like, I wasn't observing prices that closely. It just felt like a, oh, this is like a more expensive place when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember, I think it was around 2019, 2020, the loaded grillers from Taco Bell?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the last value menu items that I remember that, like, I actively got, like, multiple times.
Yeah, that was the era when I was like, the only way to get a real deal was coupons, and I started doing fast food coupons a good bit, and I remember my friend Anna taking a very funny Snapchat of me giving her a ride home after we were out somewhere, and she opens my glove box, and I'm like, no, don't open that, and she opens it, and a bunch of, like, loose fast food coupons come spilling out. And I'm just so embarrassed. And she pulls out her phone and just starts pointing it at the glove box. She's like, what's in there, Paul? And I'm like, I'm not, nothing's in there. And she's like, I'm going to open it. And then does it again. I just burst out laughing. And it's just like, literally the way I had them in there was that the pressure of the paper, when you open it, it, like, popped up as if it was like a silly snake or whatever in a can.
That's how you picked which coupon you're going to use, whichever one just fell into your hand.
No, I kept them all in there because who knows where you're going to pull over. What fast food place you're going to go through the drive-thru of on a way
home.
That's
true, but I guess my question is, I don't remember the last... I've seen a lot of grocery store coupons. I don't remember the last time I've seen a fast food restaurant coupon.
Oh, they would mail them. They were out there in 2019 for sure.
Well, actually, the only one I can think of is when Tin and I sprung on a Domino's pizza together, and Domino's was so good about, like, hey, you like that pizza, how about you get another one for pretty cheap and then just keep ordering forever.
That's true. That's what they've been replaced by, is the app deals. You create an account on the app, they have or value section on the app, and then you click on that, and what's annoying about that is, like, then it gets confusing because it's just like, when do I put in the thing? And then it's like, you're going through the drive-thru and you're trying to explain to the person, like, oh, I have a thing in the app. And they're like, oh, you needed to order it online. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. I'm an old man.
Dorley was a big McDonald's head before the boycott. And I think they ask for your coupon or your ID number or whatever when you first roll up now.
Yeah, McDonald's actually is pretty good about it. It was other places that would, like, throw you off.
Yeah, there's just no place I go to enough that I need the app for it.
That's another thing. It's the panic downloading the app when you're, like, in line and you see the deal. Cool. Any other thoughts about value menus? Did you have any favorites? Any ones we haven't talked about?
Thoughts about value menus. I wish they would come back and stronger than ever.
I think we're in the era of apps, man. It just feels like it's not coming back to the, like, you just roll up and order something off the menu.
I don't eat fast food frequently enough to really care that much about it. So, yeah, I don't know. The real value menu is making your own food.
When Google searching Subway $5 footlong, I saw that now Subway footlongs are $15, which is like...
Holy shit.
It really tripled in price in the time. That just doesn't feel right. right? Like, yeah. They were running that in 2007. I guess it's been 20 years.
Yeah. Makes sense.
We're becoming the old people who are like, back in my day, you could spend a nickel.
Come back with a penny. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's eating that anymore, but...
It doesn't feel like a deal. It feels like for $5 more, I can go down to Amy's and get a curry with a big side of rice. Like, why wouldn't
go
I
do
that?
Go to an Italian deli and get one for 18 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's A Literati, the, like, fancy Italian deli in D.C. It's, like, $18. Like, why would I go to Subway? It just feels like this jump in price. Like, they've just gotten so cocky.
I like that. That is your word. They gotten too cocky. They gotten too big for their britches.
We got to knock these fast food places down a notch.
It would be cool to be like, I wonder if there's like a Business Insider article about like what percentage of sales those things make up of their total sales.
Yeah. With Subway, it must have been the most. Who was getting, if you were getting a 6-inch from Subway during the $5 foot long, you were out of your mind.
Yeah. That's two meals right there.
Shout out to the classic Onion article. Subway execs in shock that people are eating the foot long by themselves for one meal. Our intention was always for you to share it among friends throughout the day.
That's funny. Cool. All right, you want to get into articles?
Yeah, let's do it. I got Dear Annie from the Oregon Live. Syndicated to there, this one's from June 1st, 2022. Dear Annie, I'm an honorably discharged veteran who served 49 years ago. I am grateful that members of our military and veterans are treated far better now and with more respect than when I served. While I was never disrespected while in uniform, such as spit on, I know some veterans did experience that. Unfortunately, it was my generation that did that. On to my question. These days, I see quite a few businesses, especially restaurants, that offer a military discount, including veterans, for meals or product purchases. They openly advertise these bargains. This is usually 10% off the transaction or perhaps a free beverage with a meal. On occasion, the clerk or server does not ask me if I am a veteran, and I end up paying the regular price. I do not feel comfortable bringing that up when paying the bill because I feel like I'm being greedy. I have had some servers and clerks tell me that I should mention it, citing it as something I earned when it is offered. I thank the server or cashier and appreciate the gesture. What are your thoughts on this? Also, there are a number of restaurants that provide free or significantly discounted meals on Veterans Day to veterans and active duty, and for those that do, I try to make it a point of patronizing those establishments throughout the year. Signed, Sarge.
Nice.
All right, Adrian. I think this is pretty similar to when I don't know how to explain to them that I have a coupon on the app that I'm trying to get a deal on. And...
Yeah. That you earned.
Yeah.
This discount that you earned.
It's like, how do you explain to them that it's supposed to be cheaper without seeming like you're being cheap? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know how many bashful veterans I meet who aren't like leftists or whatever. I don't know how many like, I don't want to bring it up.
This sounds like a sweet, confused old man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's, I guess so, 49 years ago.
It is interesting to me. Maybe it was about being in Lexington, I don't feel like I see veterans discounts as much as I did when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you? I barely see it advertised nowadays, and I feel like in Lexington, you saw it advertised everywhere. Like, that was just a thing.
Sometimes when I check out, I think I, like, see that there's, like, a veteran discount. But no, I don't see it that often. Maybe at the movies, I think, is where I see it.
Yeah. Senior price, veteran price.
Yeah, and then other than that, I don't really see it that often.
JPEG, but it was definitely Mafia, around when veteran we were kids. Fan price.
Yeah. I wish they gave that out. Yeah, I think I've told this story before, but when I worked at Tokyo Grill, we were supposed to give a maybe not a military discount. We definitely had a police discount that I never offered up to anybody. I think we were supposed to give firefighters free drinks, and I did do that.
Well, how are you guys going to win the firefighters? You were right next to Firehouse Subs. I remember there was a place in Charlotte that had like an expecting mother's parking spot, and on the other side they had a veteran's parking spot. I think the problem was that was a part of town where there was a lot of loud sounds and backfiring cars, and that's why they wanted to get them in the door quick.
Well, how do you feel about the first paragraph about getting respect as a veteran?
Have you heard that there's no like contemporary to the Times sources that anybody was ever spit on returning from Vietnam. That's a story that slowly gained.
That's just an urban myth?
No, I mean, people claim it happened to them, but people started claiming it happened to them a couple decades after Vietnam, was when the stories became like a common thing. People would say,
interesting.
There's no like, yeah, contemporary to the Times. Like, nobody can dig up a news article from the Times that like is referencing like, oh, these troops coming home were spit on or anything like that.
Hoctua girl wasn't around yet.
But I think I've told this story on the podcast before. We had a veteran as a substitute teacher once at Lexington High School. And he told us he was spit on and started crying. It was a really weird moment because he was there during a day when we were learning about Vietnam in a history class. And so he like started telling his story.
You know, speaking of that, which is a really weirdly specific topic, but in both soccer and football this week, we had a controversy around players spitting on either a staff member or another player. And it really, it's interesting because I'm in like dual minds about it where like, I think it's absolutely disgusting and it is gross and it should be treated harshly. But there is a part of me that's like, he just spat on the guy. I don't know. He didn't like attack him or anything. I don't know why. It just feels like, I don't know.
Interesting. What teams?
I think it was the Eagles. And then, oh, who was it? I feel like I should know the soccer
American
one better
football.
Than I know the, well, yeah, soccer and football. There was it Luis Suarez? Yeah. Oh, so it was in America. Yeah, it was MLS.
Okay.
I think he spat on a staff member. But that dude's, you know,
wait, not even on the field. Before. This guy's just like spitting on people indoors. That's wild behavior.
No, he was on the field and then, you know, they're on the side of the field and he spat at a guy. Or maybe he came onto the field. Sometimes that happens during things. Mm. And he was like, let me just hack to her real quick.
Is she still doing the podcast or has she been run off because of the...
After the crypto thing? I do not know. I haven't checked in with her in a while. I want to say Hannah or Haley is doing well. Oh shit, what was I going to say? Okay, so we've gone through the first part about veterans getting their respect.
I do like
and
that
discount.
He knew that that was unimportant to the question. He said all that and then went, okay, now on to my question after I've made a weird nonsense point.
I mean, it's about people paying respect to veterans, so that's why he's like, he did that thing of like, that Yelp review thing of like, well, if you say you're going to give out discounts on Veterans Day, I'm going to be there year round for you guys showing up for us.
Which is interesting because it's not like he's even benefiting from these things because he's too uncomfortable to even ask. It does sound like a sweet, well-intentioned guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if being a nervous, anxious person makes you sweet, but I tend to just assume. I don't know.
He killed brown children abroad, Paul.
You don't know what he did. Maybe he was a medic.
What is this idea though that people are gonna bring it up every time though? Is that what happens when you're an old white man? Is everyone just asks you if you're
a
veteran?
I would assume that's you have to ask for it thing. That what like they're gonna ask every old person?
Because then it gets into like weird discrimination where they have to ask everybody because anybody could be a veteran.
10% is also such a measly discount. At a certain point, is it like, oh, I get 2 pennies off, keep it. It's fine.
I think the way I've always thought about it is it basically just covers the taxes or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
We're basically just paying, like, the sticker price for everything. You should just ask for it. I don't know what to tell you, dude. Just do it.
Yeah. This guy needs, like, public speaking courses. He needs Xanax to calm his nerves so he can be confident enough to say, I'm a veteran.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like he has the confidence to pull the lever that drops a bomb on that little Vietnamese child. But
we don't know what he did.
He doesn't have the confidence to be like, ma'am, I'm a veteran. Like, I don't get what this issue is.
Let's see what, is it Amy? Or who do we have?
Annie Lane.
Yeah, let's see what Annie has to say.
Thank you for bringing this up and for your service to our country. The servers are absolutely right. Of course you earned it. It is wonderful that some businesses recognize your service and want to say thank you for offering discounts on meals or free drinks. You are not being greedy. You are the opposite of greedy. Trust me.
All right.
I think she's right about that. And she was nicer about it. She didn't even accuse him of war crimes.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't even make an unfounded accusation of war crimes against him.
Boo-hoo brown shirts. All right. Leave a comment and review if you'd like. All right. You ready for my call?
Yeah, let's hear it. What you got?
So I'm bringing in Pay Dirt from Slate.com. If you have a question, send it in to Kirsten and Elise. I don't know if we brought them in as Pay Dirt before, but I like those names. All right. Dear Pay Dirt, I am a pretty frugal person. I wouldn't call myself cheap because I definitely will spend good money on things I love. But I really dislike paying for things I don't want. This has become an issue with some friends and family. None of them are rich, and my income is higher than most of theirs. I love looking for a deal. I almost always sign up for accounts that give you freebies and join a lot of sweepstakes. It's not that I feel like I have to. I just like feeling like I've figured out a workaround to our horrible economic system. But my friends hate it when I substitute the free stuff for what they think I owe. Normally when we go out to eat, we get appetizers. If I somehow get a free appetizer, my friends and family think, since it's free, everybody should be able to get to enjoy that it's free while I pay full price for the meal. But I did a lot of legwork to figure out where we're going and what freebies were available. When my friends got mad at me for wanting to pay less for my meal, I recommended that they sign up for the same freebies so we could share equally in the benefits. They wouldn't have to do as much legwork as I did since I already did the research and we could all share in the free stuff. They wouldn't do it. I'm fine if I don't get to use 100% of the value of the appetizer to offset whatever entree I buy, but I think at least part of it should. I've let this go in the past and just pay my share to keep the peace. This all came to a head last weekend when I wound up finding a coupon for 50% off an entree. My tastes aren't generally that expensive, so I normally get food on the cheaper side of the menu, but I decided I was going to buy something a little more expensive than normal that I'd been wanting to try for a while. I mentioned to my friends that I had the coupon, and a couple of them recommended that I put it toward the most expensive item that someone was going to share, and then we could all split the bill or put it towards a sampler platter that was similar to an appetizer. I told them I wanted to use it to offset the cost of something more expensive. I knew all of them were going to buy something more expensive than me, we go to this restaurant fairly often, and all would have benefited from the discount. I did the math, and I would have to pay extra, a small amount extra, but extra nonetheless. I pointed that out and firmly said that I wanted to use it for my item. The rest of the night was a bit uncomfortable. I was talking to one of those friends today, and she said that this did piss people off, and that I should have just sucked it up for the good of the group. I told her that I was upset that my friends couldn't let me have one deal when they weren't even willing to get other deals themselves. It just devolved into a back and forth argument where I said that I felt taken advantage of, and my friend said friends do nice things for their friends, and not everybody wants to spend their free time hunting for deals. To be honest, it's true that my friends are sometimes there for me in ways that count, but not regularly, and never monetarily. Are they right? Even though I feel taken advantage of, is $20 to $50 a month in savings not worth the hassle with my friends? From Too Frugal Friend.
You know how I feel about this person and all of their friends?
What's up? Wait, what? So your issue is with everybody?
Yeah, because she sounded annoying at the beginning about the, like, oh, when I use it on an appetizer, they expect they all get to split it, which they're right. If you use it on an appetizer, everybody gets to split the discount. But then when they insisted she order for the table instead of for herself, they were definitely in the wrong. So it just sounds like an annoying group of people. It's like, of course, she should order the expensive thing she wants and use her 50% discount on that item in the second instance.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. But in the first instance, if you have a coupon to a place and everybody's going there, you spread that coupon around. You don't get to just use it on...
Yeah, for something shareable like an appetizer. Yeah.
Of course, the discount goes to everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't get to be like, oh, I found the discount, so you subsidize the meal. That's stupid. And then on top of that, all of this should be just avoided by the basic fact of you shouldn't have a group of friends where this becomes a problem. Everybody should be willing. People should be fighting over who gets to pay. If you have a group of friends where people are fighting about who else gets to pay, you're in the wrong group of friends. That's a weird, intense group of people.
People definitely shouldn't get pissed off at each other for something like this.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, there is always the element of, like, if you're making triple or double their salary, then maybe they have, I don't know. No, because in the case of, like, when you wanted the expensive meal, that was super unreasonable of them. But I don't know. It all just makes me upset it's even happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it almost seems like, well, I don't know. Maybe if they're kind of a frugal person, they only go out with friends. Because otherwise, I would say save it for when you go out alone.
Yeah.
But maybe you're not doing that. Yeah.
It's an annoying problem. It's just like, the problem started way before you got to the restaurant with the coupon. The problem started with just how you organize your friends in life and how you approach things.
I mean, it seems like they're kind of an annoying person, but also, I think the point about doing the legwork is legitimate. I don't know how much actual work goes into finding these coupons or whatever, but...
It's legitimate, but if you're spending it on an appetizer everybody's sharing, it just feels so weird to want to do special math to be like... Like, we all
got this discount money.
Yeah, we all got an entree and an appetizer to share. but I should pay $2 or $3 less on my entree because you guys should all pay for the 50% of that. It just starts to like be like, what? How much math are you going to do to get out of what seems like maybe at most a $5 discount? And I mean, it's a restaurant that takes a coupon, so it's not you're paying $100 an entree here. You're paying $30 to $40 to $50 tops, right?
I will say, though, 50% off an entree, that ain't bad. I would use one of those coupons somewhere.
Yeah, and that's why when it came to that situation, it's like, oh, if everybody's ordering the spaghetti and you wanted to get the steak and that 50% coupon got you down to the price of the spaghetti, then yeah, it's like, oh, then we just all split the meal equally knowing that I got my meal down to about your range.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that when she gets a free appetizer, that then they should subsidize her entree because she did the legwork of finding the free... It's like, come on, that's just... It's uncomfortable.
You should never have to do weird math with your friends.
Yeah, if you have to start calculating, if you have to pull out a calculator to figure this out, you're going too far. I don't know. And then also, I am in a privileged enough space that I often just will pay the higher premium because it's like, oh, I have the money. Who cares? I don't want to figure it out and make anybody uncomfortable. But maybe they're in a more equal space.
It doesn't sound like they are. And also, the idea that it's like $20 to $50 a month in savings for like the one time they go out to dinner, or two times they go to dinner, maybe like find coupons for other things in your life to offset this or like put a little bit more effort into your grocery coupons than your going out coupons. Because I don't know. It's not worth it, and
maybe go somewhere where you don't have a coupon just to avoid this weird bit of extra math, or say we should all pay for our own meals. Also, if this even feels like it's going to be a problem, somebody should just do the thing where they say the appetizer's on me. I'm getting it for the table, but I chose it, and it's really me paying for it. It's a treat for the table from me. But once again, that's coming from a privileged place where like maybe they're on margins where they're like, oh, the only way this works is if we all pay together and we're not making enough money that this works with one person just being extra generous.
Yeah, I don't know. But even then, if they're not putting the effort into getting their own coupons, then it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal for them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like this is like a stressor on them.
But it also doesn't seem like it's a stressor on her. She kind of mentioned it wasn't. She mentioned that this is like a thrill for her to save money.
Right.
So why can't it just be a thrill for you to save money for your friends? I don't know. Just recontextualize it.
Well, that was weird. The whole thing about like, sometimes my friends are there for me in ways that count, but never with money. So, well, yeah.
They're just helping me move and they're emotionally for me and cooking me casseroles whenever I'm in a tough time in life. But they're never giving me like $20 iTunes gift cards, you know, the things that matter.
I wonder what Paydirt's take on this is going to be. I feel like even though they're a money thing, it's still ultimately, this is just a people question. This is still just a being a normal person question.
Yeah, I feel like they asked Paydirt incorrectly, right? Paydirt is not hyper fixated.
Should have asked Kwame.
Kwame would have been like, you have one choice and it's to murder your friends.
Your friends are leeches. And leeches are not people.
Kwame would have been like, why don't you work for like a defense contractor that pays more and then you could make a lot more money and this wouldn't be an issue? Have you thought about working for like maybe a company that makes bombs or something? That would pay a lot better.
I think there's some positions open at Leidos right now.
Shout out to Kwame. Okay, I can't go on a rant about Kwame, but he's had like 10 of these. Where it just seems like his job as the head ethicist at the New York Times is to tell people it's okay to act unethically. It's insane. I don't know how to just like even begin to wrap my mind around who he is or how he got this job as an ethicist.
I don't know. All right. So, let's see. Let me reread the appetizer thing. Maybe I didn't fully understand what that was about.
I think she's getting 50% off an appetizer or a free appetizer. And she's saying then when we all order $20 entrees and we split it between people, I should get
a discount
like $15. Okay, yeah. Or, you know, it shouldn't be we all just pay $20 for our entrees. I should get, for having found the coupon for the appetizer, I should get some off my entree.
Yeah. Since I already did the research, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that this is a full-time job.
Yeah, you don't think... You don't think scrolling through Grubhub or scrolling through Groupon?
Groupon.
Yeah.
You basically derived it.
I deportmanteaued it. Is there a word for deportmanteauing something?
Deportmanteau.
I deportmanteaued it and then got back to it.
All right. You want to hear the answer?
What do you think about this type of stuff? Like, I don't know. Have you ever had a friend where you're like, oh, they're being a little too frugal, but I'll I'll silently allow it, or I'll be like, hey man, stop being weird about this.
No, I do. My main thing is I hate Venmo. I hate Venmo transactions with friends sometimes, where sometimes if you're the one in charge doing the requests, it feels like sometimes when people take forever to get back to you, it's kind of annoying. And then, like, I don't know, like, I always, like, fulfill Venmo requests really quick because I just want to get it over with or whatever. But, like, also, like, the stage where people are, like, taking a picture of the receipt and trying to figure out, you know, what the percentage is or, like, what each person had and stuff like that. It's always a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been situations where I've, like, ended up overpaying for my part of it because, and then just, you just go, like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
And then you can't bring it up the next time. Like, if somebody forgot to Venmo you for the last meal and it's been, like, a month and you're, like, should I bring this up now that they're asking me to Venmo them for this meal? Like, oh, you didn't get me last time? It's like, no, that's weird. I'll just pretend that didn't happen last time and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Venmo really made splitting checks obsolete, which I guess I've done that in recent times still. I've done that before a time or two. But I think the only thing about splitting checks is that it seems to be a hassle. That's why restaurants don't like doing it and why they support the Venmo thing. But I just like it better, especially when they have like a really good server who's like, all right, so who had what, and does anyone want to take this? Are you guys splitting this down the middle, or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, that's also not fun when you have to figure out, because, like, when I've, like, in New York, you know how they don't split checks, at least on Manhattan a lot of the times, and then it's like you have to do the one person pays an exorbitant fee, and everybody else, it's like you basically have to get paid back.
Yeah, that's the other part of it, is that it feels crazy that you're putting that much money down. Like, sometimes you get lucky, and there's one person who's like, oh, I'm going to get credit card points for this, so I'm going to do it, or whatever, and then, you know, everyone pays them back. But sometimes it feels like, wow, this is a massive amount of money if I had to take care of this myself. Anything else? Should they, what were you saying? Go somewhere that's too nice to have coupons or something? Or?
Yeah, maybe it's just like you got to get out of this headspace. You're looking for a deal when you're with friends and you got to go somewhere where you don't have a coupon just so that you can then get what they're getting and split it evenly and get this out of mind.
Yeah, I mean, you're already talking about how you don't have expensive tastes and stuff. It's like, well, then just, you know, every other time order an even cheaper entree than you normally would. You know, there's ways to do that math, although sometimes that math feels like it doesn't really work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching a YouTube video a long time ago. It was TJ Miller like swiping on a random person's Tinder. That was like the Vanity Fair format or whatever. And he was making fun of the person for not having a Tinder premium. And she was like, it's expensive. And he was like, it's $5 a month. Get one less beer next time you go out. And I was like, that's not really how it works.
Yeah.
But it is funny how sometimes your brain is like, okay, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Because then you have to manifest the idea that you would get another beer, but you're going to specifically reject it.
Yeah, that's life creep, right? When you start thinking that way, that's how you end up spending more money months over months and never saving money.
All right. Now do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Dear Too Frugal Friend, I think you're missing the point of spending time with your friends. It's not to get the best deal for yourself, it's to enjoy their company. When you're constantly counting the difference between what everyone orders, how much it all costs, and whether or not you're getting ripped off, you're not socializing in a fully present way. Your friends are only getting a piece of you, and you're not maximizing the social value of your relationships. The math is all off. You can avoid the conversation, I suppose, and just ask for separate checks, or a separate check just for yourself. All the energy you spend counting pennies during dinner is eating away large chunks of social capital, and I can't imagine it's allowing you to enjoy yourself very much. I'm all for saving money, finding coupons, and using up every penny of gift cards I'm given. You seem to have a great time diving for deals. It's fun for you, but your behavior seems a little mean, and I wonder how much you're really saving. Regardless, it appears that your friends have had enough of your too frugal behavior. If you keep it up, you'll have far fewer friends with whom to share dinner plans. That will, of course, make it easier to use your coupons. You'll only be paying for yourself. From Elise.
I agree with the answer. I feel like there was also a point to make about, like, her friends seem like they're being rude to her. In the case where she had the 50% off the entree, it did feel a little bit more like she had a point, but I think the answer got to the idea of, like, you just gotta get out of the mindset that you need to calculate this stuff first and foremost.
Yeah, I think so.
But it does suck that her friends are also so inconsiderate to her. Like, sometimes you just gotta realize, like, oh, my friend cares about this. So, you know, and it sucks that she doesn't have friends that care about that and are like, okay, this is her saying. Like, let's... It's a Mexican standoff, right? It's like, both people are acting unreasonable and they're both a little frustrating for acting that way. And it is, you should tell the one person to be a bigger person, but it's also like, man, why can't everybody be the bigger person in this situation?
Yeah, they didn't really hit that part. I think you were kind of right about that. I think everyone's a little bit weird in this situation.
Yeah, it's tough. But I think maybe it's the right advice that this asker needs to hear, which is like, you need to be the one to stand down.
I think that's true. I don't necessarily believe that this would actually drive a friend group apart, but if people were pissed about something, then maybe, yeah. All right, are you ready for the third segment? So what Paul and I have for you today is a little ditty. From lovefood.com. We're going to go through and review. Are we tier listing or what are we doing? We're just rating, giving reactions to crazy fast food items from around the world. I'm sure this is a concept everyone's familiar with. You know, a lot of people like to go to the McDonald's in a different country to kind of see what's up over there. I know that my brother kind of has this thing where, because he's in Europe and he travels to different countries every now and then, he's always like, well, I could stop by McDonald's for one meal and just see what's up.
Yeah. So we just want to see what people are eating for fast food around the world. And usually it's like a pretty cool insight into like, oh, what do the people in that country feel like is a daily necessity or a daily driver in their diet that they're like, I want that.
Either that or, you know, like there's a lot of vegetarians in India, so you have to make like vegetarian options, stuff like that. Yeah. Sometimes they feel like weirdly insulting, but maybe that's like American brain that like the Japanese people wouldn't like the samurai burger. But yeah, I don't know. Let's check it out. Number 35, the Banurito, Taco Bell Cyprus. Smash together a banana and a burrito, and what do you get? A Banurito. Fortunately, there's no rice or meat involved here. This Taco Bell creation consists of a banana coated in hazelnut praline, wrapped in a flour tortilla, and decorated with a drizzle of chocolate sauce and rainbow sprinkles. A permanent fixture of the menu in Cyprus, it's a popular dessert, and we can kind of see the appeal. It's not a million miles away from a banana and Nutella and Nutella crepe.
Which was a crepe that was on the menu at my cousin's crepier in Lebanon, a banana and Nutella crepe.
Yeah, right, that French influence, okay. They even do, you can see that it has the griddle mark, too. It's got the classic griddle press mark.
My cousin's banana and chocolate crepe, you know, the bananas were cut thin, and then it was folded into a regular crepe shape.
That kind of makes more sense, yeah. I don't think I like the idea of going, my teeth going through a tortilla and then going through a banana.
Not a tortilla.
Feels like too much.
Oh, wait, it is a tortilla because it's Taco Bell.
Yeah, it is a tortilla, yeah.
Actually, it does sound good to me, but like that's just because like Nutella and banana are so good. You're right. The tortilla is the part that feels like the breakdown in the situation. It should be a more sugary bread.
A little bit. Yeah. And I'm sure they can make that at Taco Bell, but I don't know. Apparently they love it in Cyprus.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cyprus. Island food, man.
Them island boys.
I'm not against it. It feels, to me, it's surprising. I wouldn't be like, oh, Cyprus, this is where. This feels like almost like a Switzerland thing or something like that to me. Like,
Yeah. I mean, if we were doing that Good Mythical Morning game where you have the darts and you have to throw it at the big map to see where you think this is from, I wouldn't have hit Cyprus.
All right, next up we got Domino's Indie Chica Tikka. If you think chicken tikka should only be served with rice or in a flatbread, then think again. A popular choice on the Domino's menu in India, the Indie Chicken Tikka pizza combines juicy masala spiced chicken tikka bites with onion, paprika, and mint mayo. It looks good. Looks like a lot of hip fusion places in America's take on this, so.
Sort of, yeah. I think the mint mayo is getting me a little bit.
Oh, I bet that's good.
I think I'd rather have like a yogurt mayo thing.
That's not far off those kids that wanted to put ranch on their pizza so badly in high school.
Yeah, it's, well, people loved it. No, it looks good. The pieces of onion look too big, but other than that,
the
it does actually
look
really good.
The pieces of onions do look a little too big, but maybe they're cooked. Maybe they're a little softer than you expect. If they're as raw as they look in that picture, I could do with a little bit more cooking down.
They look pretty raw.
It looks so much more intense in flavor than anything you get at an American fast food place.
That's true. And it's got like full on chilies on there. The other thing I was going to say is that this is one that I would get correct on a quiz where, yeah, obviously this is India. Unless you did a tricky thing where you were making it like Bangladesh or Pakistan.
More than the banana Rito from Cyprus, I would weigh, this is more intriguing to me as an option to go. I think I could make the banana Rito. I don't think I could get this quite as easily.
I'm always going to like the savory options more than the sweet options.
Shout out to all our diabetes heads out there.
All right, we got the Cheeza, KFC various locations, swapping the traditional carb base for fried chicken. KFC first launched its Cheeza in the Philippines in 2015. After a huge success there, it's had limited edition stints across the globe, most recently launching in the US. While it might sound odd, Cheeza is actually delicious, featuring two crispy fried chicken fillets topped with marinara sauce, melted mozzarella, and pepperoni.
While it may sound odd, I was not doubting this from the start.
I was just going to say that. I was like, I did not at any point think, oh, this is going to be gross. This is just chicken parmesan.
with pepperonis on
it. So even better.
It does not shock me they're popular in the Philippines. They like their fried chicken there, right? It feels like it almost feels like after the U.S. South that the Philippines is the most, like, it's a market that makes the most sense to me for KFC.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, I don't think that's why. Yeah, in Japan, but in Japan, they have that, they have the, like, French menu for Christmas, which is a thing that I find delightful, but we can get to that later.
For some reason,
maybe.
When you talked about Philippines and you were talking about it, I thought you were going to say, like, besides the U.S., they're, like, the most down to get freaky with shit like this.
I don't know about that. I just feel like they like their fried chicken.
I mean, they got
chicken.
Jollibee. They're putting hot dogs in their spaghetti.
Yeah, it seems like they have, like, a very interesting fusion cuisine out in the Philippines. And it seems like fried chicken is also a big part of their cuisine. I mean, it sounds good. Like you said, chicken parmesan is basically what this sounds like, but with pepperonis on top. We have the Polish McMuffin, which has cottage cheese and radish.
And arugula, it looks like.
A breakfast item sure to divide the crowd. This curious McMuffin is found on McDonald's menus throughout Poland. Instead of the usual suspects, sausage, egg, bacon, and American cheese, this breakfast bun is filled with sliced radish, cottage cheese, and rocket leaves. Oh, is that what they call arugula?
Yeah, that's another way to call it, is rocket salad, yeah.
Okay. Although it's quite a classic combination across Eastern Europe, it's still not what many would expect from a McMuffin. I wouldn't get this. I don't like...
I wouldn't get it, yeah.
I don't like cottage cheese like that.
Cottage cheese was one of the most recent new foods that I tried that I did not add to my regular diet.
I don't know how honest this photo is to what you actually get. It also looks like one of those sandwiches where when you take a bite, the cottage cheese comes spilling out of every side of the sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is like, you know, the food styling photo, so maybe it's meant to look like that.
Yeah, it's not a cheese that does well piled on a sandwich either way. It feels like it would be a problem with the real thing, whether or not you got this big a dollop on the real one.
Yeah, I think this is what you were saying earlier, where I don't think this is for tourists. I think this is for people who already like this combination of flavors and then are like, why not put it on our thing?
Yeah, I think so too. I wouldn't get it. It's not for me.
All right. A corn pie from McDonald's, Thailand. If you love McDonald's signature crisp apple pie shell, then the Thai version of the dessert, which sees the apple pie filling replaced with sweet and salty creamy corn, might just tempt you. After the dessert became a favorite treat with Thai customers, it was also introduced in South Korea and Malaysia.
Bring this to America now.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
I love that idea.
You big creamed corn guy at Thanksgiving?
No, but the sweet and salty version sounds really good in that McDonald's pie filling, which I do really like the McDonald's pies, so that's part of it for me. And it looks like...
Never had one before.
I don't know how much of this is the, like... artist rendition, but it looks like they really fill it well, whereas like the apple pie from McDonald's, you get a big air pocket with like a little bit of the apple filling. If it's how it looks in this photo, this looks like a sweet salty mixture that would just hit the exact right spot. I wish I could try this.
We just gotta go to Thailand.
You know, Thailand's the type of place where it's like I wouldn't visit it if I wasn't with a group. I don't want to be accused of being a sex tourist.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'd go alone.
About.
That's not my first spot on, like...
Well, you don't have to go alone to get this corn pie. I was going to say that Thailand is such a big food destination. It is the kind of place where I'd feel embarrassed to tell people that I went to McDonald's while I was there.
Oh, come on. But when you told them to get the corn pie?
Tell them to get the corn pie. Tell them Adrian sent you.
Subway in the UK has the cheesy bacon hot cross bun toasty. A popular treat around Easter in the UK and a few other countries, hot cross buns are sweet bread rolls, spiced and filled with dried fruit, but even the most adventurous bun lovers weren't sure about the 2025 Subway offering. The sandwich chain piled bacon and cheese into a hot cross style bun for a toasted sandwich that some thought was nothing short of vile. It was accompanied by a slightly tamer foot-long hot cross bun slice, served slathered in Cornish salted butter.
I think for the salty sweet freaks, I think this might do it for them. But dried fruit, I don't know about that.
This has given me something about the photo they included with it. It's given me like McRib vibes, where it's just a little too much on the fake side, where I kind of gag. But
what do you mean, that sauce doesn't look good to you?
It's just something about it looks Arby's-esque to me in a bad way.
Yeah, no, I feel what you mean. Again, these are food style photos, so we don't know what this actually ends up looking like. But I guess what we're saying, though, is that this is like the best interpretation of this that they're trying to put out. And yeah, it looks a little, looks a little
off-putting.
Not my taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that sauce again? I don't know. Yeah, it just looks, yeah, not a fan.
Oh, also, hot cross buns are a real thing. I thought that was a song you played on the recorder in fifth grade.
Yeah, well, no, they made the buns after the song.
Oh.
I feel like we gotta make this to a real thing. The next one is the Chicken McDo with mixed spaghetti from McDonald's in the Philippines. Again, as I mentioned earlier, they love their spaghetti. Rather different from the McDonald's meals you might be used to, the combination of crispy fried chicken leg and spaghetti topped with minced beef and tomato sauce is a hugely popular order in the Philippines. And people say the pairing really does work. I don't know.
I think that they used to offer that in America, though. Like, old school McDonald's menus
fried chicken
had
and spaghetti.
No, I don't know if with the fried chicken, but spaghetti used to be a McDonald's thing.
Yeah, which is, that's gotta be, like, you eat it as a kid, and so as an adult, you like it. But, like, who in their right mind's getting spaghetti from McDonald's?
Yeah, even this photo, this one doesn't look like the advertising photo. This looks like somebody ordered it and took
a
pic. Yeah, a
little bit more
candid. It doesn't look great, but I could imagine if you grew up in the Philippines, this would be, like, a favorite. I mean, it's fried chicken and probably, like, good enough spaghetti.
Banana ketchup?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, even if it was, like, from a really good restaurant, I don't know if fried chicken and spaghetti is a combo that I want.
Okay, in Hong Kong, we have the deep fried chicken cartilage from KFC. Crispy chicken cartilage is a common bar snack throughout Asia, and with deep fried chicken cartilage offering, KFC Hong Kong brought nose-to-tail dining to mainstream fast food menus.
I mean, from the picture, they look pretty good. They kind of look like gizzards.
I don't know if I've ever had fried cartilage. I do think Americans are a little weird about, like,
yeah,
chicken fat or like the parts of a chicken. You know, I've made the joke before, a lot of people have, that like when an American person eats a chicken wing, it feels like they ignore half the meat on the wing to just eat the skin. So I'm not against it. I'm not against getting into the like more flavorful, less meaty parts of a chicken wing. So I'm sure this is good.
I mean, I can see why this is a bar snack for sure. I would definitely munch on these while having a beer.
They look so good. I wonder, it's like because it's cartilage, is it less tender on the inside than you would expect? Does it have a more chewy bite? I don't know. Probably.
I think it's about the contrast, right? It's about like the crispy exterior, like kind of, you know, cartilaginous interior.
Yeah, and they like mochi and things with like a more interesting bite and texture than we do here. So
QQ.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Yeah.
Is that what they call it? What is that? QQ?
It's like the texture of mochi, like the texture of things like that.
Yeah, something that like you
like
have to
chewy, gummy texture.
Bite it multiple times.
All right. Let's do the cheese donut from Indonesia. First introduced in 2013 and regularly making comeback appearances, this limited edition option from KFC Indonesia consisted of a regular glazed donut topped with shredded cheddar cheese and Swiss cheese. And it was described as a salty, savory sensation. Paired with a cup of coffee, we think this one might just work.
I think what we're learning is Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands, they're braver with it, man. They don't care about our categories.
I mean, it's already KFC serving a donut, so it's like, go wild with it. What are you doing?
This one does sound bad to me, but it's that type of sounds bad where it's like, I think I could be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I could be sold on it. I'd be sold to try it. Yeah, you know what? It looks like Parmesan. Parmesan's probably good in a donut.
Okay, we got the real cheeseburger from Thailand. Which I love that they call it this.
I have heard about this before, yeah.
How does a burger bun loaded with 20 slices of American cheese sound? Not overly appealing, right? That didn't stop Burger King in Thailand from launching the real cheeseburger in the summer of 2023. The meatless all-cheeseburger may have lacked a patty and sauce, but it certainly got the internet talking. It's just a grilled cheese at that point, right?
Well, it's not even, like, fully melted cheese. Maybe that's for the photos that they want that kind of, like, droopy look to the cheese, but actually, maybe that's also another thing where it's, like, logistically hard to melt 20 pieces of cheese without burning the bun. So, like, I don't know. This looks to me like it would be a wild texture that I would not enjoy.
Yeah, it's the thing with the grilled cheese is you kind of want it to gooey into the bread. If it's unmelted in the center of the bread, you're like, I don't just love the taste of American cheese that much, but maybe...
This is something that someone made when they first introduced kiosks where you get to customize things however you want. Where they were like, burger, no toppings, no meat, 20 slices of cheese.
Replace the pickles with cheese, replace the lettuce with cheese, replace the burger with cheese, replace the ketchup with cheese,
replace
the mustard with cheese.
It's 70 cents a slice.
Yeah. But if you replace, you're getting it free.
You're like halfway there with just the regular items. So, I don't know who this is for.
No, it doesn't sound great, right? It's too much cheese. It's like, just bring it down to 3 slices and make it a grilled cheese.
Yeah, just do like an In-N-Out style grilled cheese. All right, let's do the twisty pasta, number 9. So the twisty pasta from McDonald's Hong Kong. Pasta for breakfast, anyone? The morning menu at McDonald's Hong Kong might just raise an eyebrow or two, featuring twisty pasta served with grilled chicken, sausage and egg, or ham and egg. All orders come with a hash brown, there's nothing like double carbs to start the day, and a hot drink. It's basically a hybrid of a pasta dish and the contents of a McMuffin, and we're on board with that. I don't think I'm on board with that.
I don't either, and it's also one of those things where it feels like they put a cheap frozen patty on like a top ramen. I'm like, I could make that if that's what I was craving.
Oh, I thought you were going to say cheap frozen vegetables, because those definitely look like they just come from a bag.
Yeah, but that's what top ramen vegetables look like, rehydrated veggies.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah.
Maybe not quite a top ramen, but something of that caliber, like almost rehydrated veggies with like a really sad looking patty.
Yeah, and little twisted noodles. Hey, they picked a fun pasta shape.
What is that? Cavatelli is the twisted pasta? What's the actual name for it?
Oh, I don't... Maybe? There's so many different types.
Yeah.
That's one of those things like apples where people say there's like 200 varieties and you're like, whatever.
Well, there's corkscrew pasta if you're...
That's fusilli.
Yeah, but... fusilli, is that what I was thinking of? Not cavatelli? Maybe cavatelli is just a made-up name I came up with. I don't think I would hate it, but it just looks so unremarkable. I don't know. It looks like something you would make... just to make it.
Well, I mean, it's a restaurant. They have to have a plan. They have to have an idea of who this is going to. But yeah, it doesn't do much for me. I don't know. For breakfast, I really don't think I would like this. Over a McMuffin? I'm at McDonald's. Or McGriddle? I'm at McDonald's.
Introduced in Singapore in the autumn of 2020, Pizza Hut's limited edition Cheesy 7 Durian Pizza turned out to be a big hit with customers. Known for its pungent smell, durian fruit brought a sweet and slightly savory tang to the creamy, cheesy sauce base made with mozzarella and 6 other types of cheese. Have you ever had durian? I don't know if I have. I don't think I have. I know that people find it really like disgusting or delicious. It's like polarizing flavor.
I've always wanted to try it. I've never been at like an ice cream place that had durian ice cream. I have been around a real durian before. My advisor had one in his freezer when I was house sitting for him once. It was just in there and I really wanted to crack it open, but I was like, obviously this is probably very expensive.
He didn't text you? Who was it? Like, by the way, we have an extra durian if you want to finish it off before bad.
If you want the whole house to fucking smell terrible or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I don't know because I don't know about durian. The pizza looks really plain compared to an American pizza. Like, it doesn't have a red sauce on it or anything. It's just, like, the cheese with meatballs.
There's 6 other types of cheese. It's the best seller in China. It's probably pretty good. I can see it.
Man, I need to try durian, I think. Is that our mission before the next episode? We both try durian and come in with our reviews?
Yeah, sure. I think my big thing is that for a chain like that, they can't be using real durian or that much real durian. So, like,
oh, but you think in Hong Kong it's that expensive? In a place where it's like a common food, maybe it's like pineapple. Like, you can just get durian.
Maybe they've ruined the durian market for everybody else. Number 6, Golden Durian Mochi from KFC Malaysia. Kind of seems like we're doing the same countries over and over again. I feel like there should have been more.
Apparently,
like,
Southeast
Japan,
Asia
South
just. Like, they know how to make food that we're, like, a little bit shocked by.
That's true. KFC introduced Golden Durian Mochi to menus in Malaysia in 2020 due to popular demand, brought back the item in 2021, 2022, and spring 2024. The fruity dessert features crispy, deep-fried shells filled with D24 durian, a much-loved variation of the fruit. Oh, damn, I didn't even know there were, like, variations.
And why do they have such cool names? D24 durian.
Yeah, what the hell? I don't know why the picture has like a white line that makes it look like the durian ball is shooting out a little bit of cum, but other than the little thin rope coming out of this durian ball, this is a presentation that does look pretty good.
It does, but once again, I think just knowing how many people are like, durian is the stinkiest, worst thing I've ever tasted. I wonder, like...
Well, no. People say that it smells bad, but it tastes good. You have to get over the smell to get to the taste, is what I've always heard.
I guess I've just heard from people who don't like the smell so much that it ruins it, because I've heard people just hate it.
Oh, damn.
Hmm. Yeah. Number 4, chili paste pork ice cream from Thailand. McDonald's, Thailand. The list of quirky McDonald's desserts doesn't stop and end with coriander ice cream. Oh, we skipped that one, but coriander ice cream was, China's offering. Taking things in an even more unusual direction was the chili paste pork ice cream that launched in Thailand in 2022. It saw the ice cream base garnished with chili paste and light and fluffy shredded pork. This one might just be a case of don't knock it until you try it.
This one I could actually see.
I can see it, but like I already... I've had like black pepper on ice cream, like a black pepper strawberry ice cream, and it tastes good. So I get the idea of like something that has a little kick with ice cream, but this almost feels like too much kick.
I've never had pork floss, but it looks like an interesting texture.
I'm almost sure you have probably without realizing it, like in the middle of a, what's the rice, the Japanese rice that's in a triangle?
Yeah. Wait, rice that's in a triangle? Even the one from Pokemon that's a donut?
Yeah.
Is that not onigiri?
Is it onigiri? I think it might be. That's almost always filled with pork floss.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't had too many of those onigiri, to be honest.
No, it's very often filled with pork floss. It's good. It just tastes like a nice savory filling.
Okay, well then, yeah. It seems like a good texture. It seems interesting. I think I would actually probably try this. I'd split it with a friend on a date.
On a date? It's not like spaghetti. You're not Lady and the Tramp again. It's not like floss in that sense. It's a lot more...
It's not like a little kid with a backpack dancing in your mouth.
Oh, we got the Choco Fries from Burger King Thailand. Once again, these Southeast Asian countries. Okay. Does everything taste better with chocolate, Adrian?
That's not a question people ask.
Okay, the write-up says, does everything taste better with chocolate? Burger King Thailand certainly seems to think so. As the Chocolate King menu returned to outlets across the country for the third time in 2023, the delicious collaboration between Burger King and Hershey's featured Hershey's Choco Pies, iced chocolate milkshakes, and even a Whopper Jr. served in a chocolate bun with Choco Fries, fries drizzled with Hershey's premium chocolate sauce.
I mean, it's Hershey's chocolate. It's bad. It's bad chocolate.
This feels like they should have gone with maybe a slightly less sugary chocolate to make it less...
Yeah, I was going to say dark chocolate would have maybe have sold me on it, but right as is, I can't do it.
It's too much. It's too much. And I think we can skip number 1 if you just want to do number 2 to finish us off.
All right, to finish us off, luxurious scallop and abalone pizza, Pizza Hut Taiwan. A limited time edition introduced in 2023 for Chinese New Year, Pizza Hut's range of seafood-inspired pizzas showcase toppings such as shrimp, calamari, dried octopus, salmon, and mackerel, featuring scallops, mullet roe, XO sauce, pork and cheese dumplings, and the prized delicious abalone could be considered a stroke of genius or an acquired taste.
Have you ever seen that photo? It's like the photo of the oldest pizza we know about. It's like from a Roman fresco.
No, what is it, like a bunch of fish heads or something?
No, but it is basically just like a flatbread. It has like a pomegranate on it. It's basically the idea that it's just a flatbread with things you would eat on top of it, and then you can eat the bread after. And that's almost what this seems like. Like, it seems like a bunch of good stuff on top of a bread, but it doesn't feel like you'd eat it like a pizza. Also, Taiwan. I'm happy we're out of the Southeast Asian sphere. I'm happy we got just into the East Asian sphere.
I kind of see what you mean. The dumplings seem a little baked in there, but you probably could pop those out. I mean, they're giving you it with chopsticks, so it's not even sliced. I think you're right. It's meant to just be an injera.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to eat it, and then you can have the bread on top if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, I'm not mad at it, besides the fact that I am allergic to it, shrimp. So I can't eat it.
Just the shrimp, right?
Yeah.
Would you feel, if it's like the veteran, you'd feel a little too embarrassed being like, no shrimp? You don't want to ask for customizations?
Well, what if I order it like that, and then they bring it out with the shrimp? And I have to be like, oh, I ordered this without shrimp. All right. Anything to wrap us up, Paul?
Am I just a glutton, or does it seem like most things are good?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about international dishes like this at restaurants that are fast food, they're not meant to be pranks or anything, right? They're meant to be earnest, like, we think we can make money selling this thing here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There are people who will eat this, yeah.
And, I mean, they sound good to me. Like, they sound exotic. I'm not going to pretend that, like, they all sound
in line
with what I think is, like, a normal dish. But they all, like, I get the idea.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Big fact, no cap.
Big fact, no cap. Big fact. Maybe these restaurants in America need to stop trying, like, pretzel buns and ghost pepper fusions and start giving us some of this real wild shit if they want to win me back as a customer.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to try the luxurious scallop and abalone pizza from Pizza Hut, not another pretzel bun sandwich. If you want to win me back, fast food in America, that's what you got to do.
I agree with that. Give me something new. Give me something fresh.
Yeah.
And my no cap is, every place should be like this bar that I know that has a, like, 2-hour happy hour on Saturdays that's called, like, Back to the 90s, where everything's 90s priced. And it doesn't last that long, but, like, hey, I would definitely do that. I'd pop over just to get that meal deal or whatever. So every place should have something like that. Take me back in time every now and then.
Bye.
All right, bye.